football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, guess what, everybody? Football starts tomorrow with the Hall of Fame game, and we're going to have some coverage for you on CBS Sports HQ. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. Yeah, football starts tomorrow and ends in February. We're excited. Michael Thomas just got $100 million. He's probably pretty excited. And I did not get $100 million, but I still cannot wait to talk fantasy football with my buddies, Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Good morning, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Adam? I'm not doing as well as Michael Thomas is, but 5 years, $100 million, $61 million guaranteed. At least we know he's not holding out at all, and we can draft accordingly now.
Yeah, and he'll be on today's show in the Everyone is a Bust section, part two. We did part one yesterday with the first day picks of the draft. We'll do part two. Michael Thomas caught 85% of his targets. What if he doesn't do that again this year? Is the production going to be a little bit disappointing? Plus, you got Jared Cook in there, maybe some young wide receiver step up. We'll talk about Michael Thomas. I want to know from you guys, though, what's the biggest news from yesterday? Also coming up on today's show, we got some fill in the blank. We have a funny five-star review to read. Thank you very much for those. And we've got a segment. Should I call it Old Faces in New Places or New Faces in New Places about guys on new teams?
Old Faces in New Places.
But
are you calling them old?
No. That's the thing. Like, it's a mean thing to say, Jamie.
Yeah, it's like you're offending them. You're saying you've got an old face.
Yeah, not cool. All right, well, we'll figure out the title before we get there. What's the biggest news item from yesterday?
There's two. I would say the biggest one is AJ Green having the procedure and the doctors realizing during the procedure that his timetable might be a little bit longer than initially expected. And it drops him out of the first five rounds for sure. I like the idea of drafting him to be your eventual number three wide receiver with number one receiver potential, but I can't find anybody that I would take him over with one of the first 60 picks in the draft.
Ooh, man,
yeah,
that's far.
I'm still taking Green in the first five rounds. You know, we still don't know if it's one game or three games. You know, that was never really determined beforehand. So 6 to 8 weeks, could still be, you know, the 8 weeks where it's the three games. So I first moved him down, and then I decided, you know what, when I started comparing some of the guys in that range, he's still a fifth round pick, and I think that's where his average draft position will probably settle. The two biggest news items from yesterday were the two calf injuries that we found out about. You know, Andrew Luck now has missed 3 months with this calf strain. That's not a good sign at all. And Derrick Henry, we found out, is going to be out for at least 2 weeks with a calf strain. So soft tissue injuries are never good. They're never good this time of year. And I'm a little bit concerned about both guys. Not dramatically concerned yet, but, you know, it's troubling that for Luck that this has lingered so long for a guy that has an injury track record of missing extended periods of time. You know, he's being smart about it, which is the right thing. Not necessarily rushing back on the field when he doesn't have to. But when you start to, again, nitpick those top four quarterbacks, right now he's fourth.
Okay, and I think, obviously, Andrew Luck would suffer if Andrew Luck got hurt, but T.Y. Hilton, we really need to talk about that, because T.Y. Hilton, 2017, Andrew Luck did not play. T.Y. Hilton,
well, I don't know if you want to go there yet.
All right, fine. Yeah, like it's
I understand
early,
what you're saying, but
I just want people to know there's a huge downgrade. It's not like DeAndre Hopkins. Every quarterback he's had except for Osweiler, he's been good. Without Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton is a high end number three, low end number two wide receiver.
Yeah, But again, at that point, it was getting Jacoby Brissett from a trade from New England right at the start of the season versus Brissett now 2 years in this offense, you know, full season and then, you know, full offseason with Frank Reich. So I think it's an entirely different situation in what the backup could be. Now, again, I agree with you. It's a downgrade losing Andrew Luck. But I think that, when we talk about these type of injuries, it's a little bit different when a guy's not expected to miss time. AJ Green's expected to miss some time. So yeah, that's a different conversation when you talk about Dalton and Boyd and Dick Mixon and all those guys. This all is right, more look. of a where to draft these guys type of conversation. Like when we talk Gurley, you know, who's not missing time or at least expected to miss time, or Luck, who's not expected to miss time. So the reason I'm bringing it up is I don't want people to panic on, you know, okay, now you downgrade T.Y. Hilton yet. You don't have to do that just yet. You may
right.
want
no,
to.
No, I'm just looking into the future. I'm just saying if Andrew Luck misses time, you do have to downgrade T.Y. Hilton.
A lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think it's a lot.
You're right that the quarterback situation will be better. It was Brissett 2 years ago, but like you said, it was not ideal situation for Brissett. And 4 years ago when Andrew Luck missed 9 games, it was Matt Hasselbeck and Charlie Whitehurst and Josh Freeman and Ryan Lindley. So it'll be a better situation for T.Y. Hilton. But he had seven games. In 2017, he had 7 games with fewer than 30 yards. And Brissett threw he threw 13 touchdown passes in 16 games. He'll do better than that. And you know what? We're not going to freak out about it. It's too early. But you'd still take, right now, if you're drafting today, you'd still take Luck over Baker Mayfield?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still the top in the top four. But again, you know, it's the same thing with those running backs. Whenever there's anything that could make you be a little bit cautious or concerned or whatever, because they're all great. They're all exceptional if they play 16 games. And so you're looking at who's better right now between Rodgers and Luck, Watson and Luck. Mahomes is going to go first as long as he has his full complement of weapons. And so it's just an easy situation to say, okay, why take the whatever potential risk there may be involved with one of these guys? And so you may look at it and say, okay, right now we're talking about this. It's not even August yet. So why bother yourself with being worried about it if you're an Andrew Luck? I have Luck in a keeper league. You know, I'm not worried about it. He's, you know, I have 7 keepers. I got to pick 4. He's easily one of the top 4. But it's just, again, when you nitpick at these spots, when they're the best of the best, the 3 tight ends, the 4 running backs, the 7 receivers, the 4 quarterbacks, it's just something to say, okay, I like this guy 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, shuffle him up.
Sure.
And now Luck falls to the bottom.
As far as AJ Green goes, I mean, there were 2 guys last year who we knew were going to miss time at the start of the season. I'm sure there were more, but 2 that come to mind were Julian Edelman and Mark Ingram. It was not because of injury, though. But
I got a 3rd one, Doug Baldwin.
Well, it depends when you drafted, because he was ready for week 1, wasn't he?
But he said he wasn't 100%.
Yeah, and I drafted a lot of Doug Baldwin last year because he was falling late 3rd round, early 4th round, and I was all in on it. I also drafted some Julian Edelman, and I was very happy with Julian Edelman. Mark Ingram was a little bit of a disappointment. His passing game production pretty much went away. And I think Baldwin, you'd obviously have to characterize as a disappointment. That's probably the comparison we should make, right? I mean, got hurt in the preseason. Green's injury prone. But if it ends up being an Edelman situation, you're going to love to have A.J. Green with a top 60 pick. And just the last point to make about this, let's say he misses 4 games. We don't know that'll be that many, but let's say he misses 4. There are no bye weeks in weeks 1 through 3. In week 4, the Jets and the 49ers are on a bye. So, you know, you have a better chance to get away with this injury at the start of the season, obviously, than you do later in the season. Okay, today's sponsor is SeatGeek. SeatGeek's been sponsoring us for years. We thank SeatGeek for continuing to support our show. FFT is the promo code on SeatGeek. So if you're going to a game, a concert, comedy, whatever, you want to save $10, download the SeatGeek app. Use the code FFT. You're going to save money anyway. It's a really, really good app. You're going to get great deals. Let's do Everyone is a Bust Part 2. Yesterday, we talked about the top 4 running backs, Hopkins and Adams, David Johnson, and Le'Veon Bell. If we continue in CBS ADP to number 9 overall, and I removed Melvin Gordon and Patrick Mahomes from this top 16, and I think I removed Todd Gurley too, because we talked enough about him. Let's start with James Conner. So here's how it works. I give you a reason why he might be a bust. You tell me if you're buying it. You tell me just basically what you think. James Conner rushed for 65 or fewer yards in 8 of 13 games. He did not have more than 15 carries in any of those 8 games. When he returned from an injury in week 17, Conner had 3 catches for 30 yards. Jalen Samuels had 7 catches for 40 yards. Remember, no Antonio Brown in that game. My point is, Conner was really, really helped by passing downs work. If it's going to Samuel, you could be a little concerned about James Conner. That's his bust potential, in my opinion. Guys, what do you think?
I also think he was helped by touchdowns. If you look at his 4 best games from last year, he scored 2 in each of them. But that's a role he's going to still have this year. And I know that he didn't have a lot of games with 20-plus carries, but he did have enough with 17, 18-plus touches. A lot of those 65-yard games that you refer to, he also had 25, 30, 34 yards receiving. And I think he's still going to get that. I think Jalen Samuels will have a role where he's catching 3 to 4 passes per game. I still think Connor's going to catch 3 to 4 passes per game. He's going to be the goal line guy. He is their best threat at running back. This is a team that has consistently had great running backs going for them. I have no problem taking James Conner, certainly a non-PPR with a first round pick, And in full PPR, I'd consider it late in round one, knowing that I'm going to get a good player in round two.
Okay, Dave, thank you for the James Conner breakdown. We have a special surprise for everybody. Oh, big surprise. Again, the Heath is on. Again, unexpectedly. Heath, welcome. What are you doing here?
It's really wonderful. I'm happy to be here, and I love the music. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So here's what happened. With the Michael Thomas breaking news, Jamie got pulled onto the HQ set, CBS Sports HQ. Download the CBS Sports app on any of your connected devices. Start watching HQ anywhere you are. I watch it on my phone sometimes, by the way. It's very cool. So Jamie's going to do some Michael Thomas stuff on HQ. Heat's going to step in here on the podcast. All right, next up is the number 10 overall in ADP. It's Odell Beckham, and my bust concern is are there too many mouths to feed in Cleveland?
Yes.
On paper, yes, but I don't think it's going to hurt Odell like it will Landry, Njoku, and Callaway. I'm surprised that that's the concern that you're going with, Adam.
Injury prone, because Odell would Beckham be the other has one.
Well, injury concern for sure.
Yeah.
But he seems healthy right now, which is something that we're clinging to for a lot of players that have the injury prone label. And his upside catching passes from Baker Mayfield is through the roof.
I mean, if Sammy Watkins was going 10th overall, we'd probably have injury concern as our first concern, right?
He wouldn't go 10th overall.
Well, Odell Beckham's missed more games than he has.
Yeah,
it's the same number of years.
A valid concern. It is. The too many mouths to feed thing. If we're not worried about it with Hopkins, why are we worried about it with Beckham? I mean, I feel like great players
numbers. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, Jarvis Landry is better than, in terms of demanding targets, Will Fuller or Kiki QT.
Okay, what about Landry plus, say, Njoku versus Fuller plus QT on a team that's probably not going to pass as much as the Browns because they're a running team, the Texans?
That's the thing that we don't know, because if you look at the Browns' offense after Kitchens took over last year, they only ran 57 plays a game. They were not particularly pass-heavy.
Yeah.
They were when they were losing.
The Texans are a little more run heavy maybe than the Browns this year, but the Texans have always been a team that runs 64, 65 plays a game. If Houston's more fast paced, there may be a similar number of pass attempts.
It's hard to find a situation where teams don't try to upgrade their receiving core, right? Like, you could look at Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, not Juju, and Michael Thomas, and Odell Beckham, and you could say with all of them, hey, there are other guys there that might be better this year than the year before. You know, there might be a target share issue.
Not Juju.
No, not Juju. Right, exactly. But the other guys, yes. So I guess of all these wide receivers, Heath, it sounds like, feel like Beckham's the one that might concern you the most in terms of target share.
Relative to the number of targets he has received in the past, I would say Beckham is the one that concerns me the most. Relative to the number of targets they received last year, Adams would be the one that concerned me the most. One, because it's such an outlier in terms of his career, and two, because they have a new offensive system that I anticipate will be built more upon spreading the ball around as opposed to dropping back, running the same routes, and throwing it to the same guy every play.
Right. That I agree with you on that with Green Bay. In the case of Cleveland, I think that they want to use Nick Chubb a lot. I think if Freddie Kitchens had his druthers, he would give Nick Chubb 15 to 20 carries per game. I think you could say that about most coaches. But you don't acquire Odell Beckham and then only give him 6 targets a game. You can't say, all right, now, great, we've got Odell Beckham. Let's keep spreading the ball around. Let's get Rashad Higgins involved a little bit more. It's just not going to happen. Odell is too dangerous of a receiver. This is the addition of Todd Monken is going to make the passing offense, at the very least, he will whisper in Freddie's ear, let's throw it deep. We've got this great quarterback who can make plays, and we've got this great receiver who can run and make plays deep. And to Beckham's credit, in the games he has played over the last year and the last 2 years, he's come away with an over 62.5% success rate, meaning that he's been consistent enough to make you happy as a fantasy manager. So I think he's going to get the targets. I think he's going to get the touchdowns. I think he's going to be as good, if not even a little bit better, than he was in New York with Eli Manning.
All right, next up, Julio Jones. Here's the bust potential. But, well, you know, versus he's he seems to be always having some type of lower leg issue or whatnot. But Atlanta had the eighth worst scoring defense in the NFL in 2018, and Matt Ryan threw 75 more passes than he had thrown in either of his previous two seasons. You got Calvin Ridley emerging. You got Devontae Freeman back. Don't expect 170 targets again for Julio Jones. Think more like 150.
Sure.
Fair. So,
that's still pretty damn good.
So he's only going to have 90 catches for 1,400 or 1,500 yards.
Yeah, and one touchdown. No. Well, you'd like 100 catches from him. I mean, he's certainly capable of giving you 100 catches.
I don't know if I have him projected for 100 or not.
Who would you rather have, Beckham or Julio?
I'd rather have Julio. I don't agree that this Falcons defense is going to be worlds better. I don't know where their pass rush is coming from. They play the Panthers twice a year, the Bucks twice a year, the Saints twice a year. They're going to have matchups against Houston and Indianapolis. And they're playing indoors for, I believe it's like the first 10 games of the season. Something crazy like that. 13 of their games are indoors this year. They are going to be in a ton of track meets. And you know how I stand on Devontae Freeman. We've seen Julio Jones get at least 80 catches, at least 1,400 yards each of his last five seasons. That includes his crappy 2017 when he was playing hurt. And I know the touchdowns are an issue, but he's reunited with Dirk Cutter, who loves to air it out. And Cutter helped Julio find 10 touchdowns the last time that they were together as play caller and receiver. I am optimistic about Julio Jones. I am. To me, the biggest concern is what you started with, Adam. It's the injury. Yeah. And the fact that even though he's not going to play in a preseason game, he's not practicing much, if at all, right now.
Yeah.
Can I go on a quick tangent, by the way?
Sure. Why not?
It feels like week 8. There are too many injuries already. Training camp hasn't even been open for a week. Today is basically a week. And it feels like there's already like 10 players who are hurt. I'm just being grouchy about this, but there are already too many injuries to worry about for fantasy.
I mean, August
1st.
I'm not worried about a bunion being removed from his foot. That's what it is for Jones, but he does get banged up. He plays through injury. He misses some time, you know.
Well,
it's a little concerning.
Like we've now, I think, said more words about injury concern with Julio Jones than we did Odell Beckham.
Yeah, you're right. Because we
said
more words doesn't mean we're
Julio's
not more concerned about Beckham.
Julio's played at least 14 games 4 or 5 years in a row now.
I mean, by week 5, we're going to be starting practice squad.
5 years in a row, at least 14 games.
Right,
he's missed
up.
3 games in the last 5 years.
Next up, Juju Smith-Schuster. What's the bus concern? There's no Antonio Brown. He's got to be the number one guy now.
That's a really bad bus concern. This is stealing at his current ADP, and I almost made him a sleeper.
You can't call him a sleeper, but you can call him a breakout, because I think he does have a chance. To say that he's going to get a career high in touchdowns this year is a no-brainer statement. If he can beat 111 catches and 1,400 yards, I think he can. But I think he can beat the yardage. I'm not sure if he can beat the catches. I think the Steelers aren't going to lean too much on him, but he's just such a unique type of receiver. There's a lot of receivers like this in the league that are just making great plays after the catch. They're slippery when defenders get their hands on him. He's not necessarily a speed guy. I don't think they're going to air it out to him 2 or 3 times a game.
I bet he has a 97-yard reception.
Well, he's done that each of the last years, but have you seen how they've come? they're mostly catch and runs.
Right.
Where he's, you know,
but nobody
making a
catches
play.
Him from behind.
I know. So, but it's not, it doesn't happen every week.
It's not going to happen every week, but
he's a very good receiver. He's going to get around 150 targets.
You got 166 with Antonio Brown.
I know. I think the Steelers find ways to get other people involved and not make it a one receiver passing game.
I don't think it'll be a one receiver passing game, but I still expect him to throw it 600 plus times. I've got him. I've tried really hard to like rein in my Juju Smith-Schuster projection so that it's not too outlandish. Right around 1,420 yards, like last year, 10 touchdowns on 174 targets. I honestly believe there's 200 target upside here, and he might lead the league in basically every receiving category.
All right. So Juju Smith-Schuster played 3 games in his career without Antonio Brown and has caught a touchdown in all 3 of them. Joe Mixon is up next. Bust potential for Joe Mixon. Bad offensive line. Lost their first round pick for the season. And his points per game in Cincinnati losses would have made him the number 20 running back in non-PPR, number 17 in PPR. He was much better in wins. They kind of got away from him when they lost, and they were terrible without A.J. Green. The O-line's very concerning, though, for Joe Mixon. That's, I think, the big bust potential.
Sure, but they had a bad offensive line last year, and he still had good
a very good year, but not an amazing year. Probably more like a second round, mid second round pick kind of player. I think he was like the number 8-ish running back.
I feel nervous about where I have him ranked, which is basically a borderline first round pick, a high end second round pick.
Yep.
What I will say is I think he fits very well in that group of running backs we were talking about earlier the week with Kerryon Johnson. Because there is a little bit of injury concern. There is a little bit of concern with how bad this team is and just how much they'll be able to run the ball. I think you put him in there with Mixon, with Kerryon, with
Mixon.
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
He's at the top of the list for me right now, but I could easily make an argument that he should be at the bottom of the list.
Okay, next up, we got Michael Thomas. Yeah, he caught 85% of his targets last year. What and he was so far and away the best receiver on the Saints. He had about twice as many receiving yards and receiving touchdowns as any other pass catcher, including Alvin Kamara. You know, what if the targets come down a little bit? You're not going to catch 85%. I really don't think he will. He's not going to get 170 targets or anything like that. So Michael Thomas, I kind of feel like he's a little bit better in real life than he is for fantasy. What do you guys think?
I think you're right. And the addition of Jared Cook could certainly take some targets off of him. The motivation to play huge is maybe gone a little bit now that he got the contract that he was looking for, $20 million a year. But he's a complete receiver who I think Drew Brees has just learned to really count on and trust. And if he's going to continue with the high catch rate that he's had, not just last year, but even the year before, I think he's probably one of the safest PPR picks you can make.
I think a lot of the arguments against Thomas are against his upside and against taking him as a top three wide receiver, but he feels like maybe the safest guy that you could take in that 1-2 turn range, and like one of the most bust proof.
Okay. He had 147 targets last year, Michael Thomas. Who has more targets, Thomas or Beckham?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think I'll say, I'm doing math in my head, I think Odell will beat him by less than 10 targets.
I have Thomas with 9 more targets.
Next up, Travis Kelce. He is 15th in CBS ADP, removing Melvin Gordon, removing Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes just will not be as good. And the numbers, last year may have been the best year of Travis Kelce's career. Just seems like there's a little bit of regression coming.
Probably.
Sure. Maybe a little.
Yeah, the thing I've been struggling with, because I do think there's probably, he was not really that much more efficient than he's ever been. He averaged 13 yards per reception last year. He's averaged 12.8 for his career. He caught 68% of his targets. He's caught 70% for his career. If they run more plays, which I think they probably will if they're less efficient, because they're not going to have as many 50-yard touchdowns, then it's possible Kelce's targets don't really go down. He seems pretty safe, too.
Yep. Okay. I think that's the best word for it. And he's got the highest upside of any tight end in fantasy, which is why he's the first tight end off the board.
I have him projected for more targets than Thomas or Beckham.
All right, then finally, number 16 in CBS ADP. Again, this is removing three players. Really number 19, but not talking about Melvin Gordon. Not talking about Mahomes. And I didn't put Todd Gurley here. Would have been Todd Gurley, but figure we've beaten that dead horse. Dalvin Cook. The only bust potential I really see here is that he's played only 15 games in 2 seasons. But I think he's pretty much going to tear it up when he's healthy. But yeah, Dalvin Cook, that's his bust potential. Can't stay healthy so far.
I mean, that's at the top of the list for Dalvin Cook.
Right.
But right behind that is he only has 9. He's played 15 games, just like you said. In 9 of them, he's given you 10-plus non-PPR points 60% of the time. 15-plus PPR, 6 of 15 games, only 40% of the time. Which surprised me because I think Dalvin Cook is a 4 or 5 catch-per-game guy. especially now without anybody else on the roster who the Vikings coaches can look at and say, oh yeah, he can help in the passing game. You know who helps in the passing game when Dalvin Cook isn't catching the ball and they want to extend run plays?
Irv.
Well, that's one. And Rudolph is two, but it's not the name I was thinking of. Go look how many times Adam Thielen has had a big game when the running back for the Vikings has also had a big game. It's only seven times in his career when it's happened. And Thielen's been around for a while.
Right.
And Mike Zimmer came out this week and he doesn't want to talk about how many carries Dalvin Cook's going to get. I agree. He's an unbelievable talent. And I fell for him as a rookie. I fell for him last year. But I'm worried the Vikings are worried. And that they're going, that they're going to limit him a little bit more than we'd like. And that combined with the track record that we saw last year and the year before makes me very nervous to draft him in round two.
I've got a question. If Dalvin Cook rushes for 960 yards and catches 50 passes for 400 yards, he has 1,300 yards and scores six touchdowns this season, is he a bust in the second round?
I don't think so.
Not in PPR.
But he's not worth the second round. He's just maybe a third round value instead of a second round value.
Sure, because at draft time, I would imagine that there would be more players available, certainly with more touchdown potential.
Because that's what he's done in 15 career games.
So it's a little
deceiving, though, because he was really limited when he came back from the injury. They just did not turn him loose first few games back. He had like 10 carries-ish. Well,
I think it's a little deceiving, but it's...
But that's also that's in your favor here.
His biggest production, I would argue, came in his first 3.5 games.
Right. And I don't know how often he's going to get that type of production moving forward.
I guess the bigger thing with that was the six touchdowns.
Right.
They've not really given him a lot of opportunities in short yardage. And I understand questioning the talent and ability of Alexander Mattison. But the one thing I'm confident Alexander Mattison can do is run like a battering ram into the line and pick up a yard when he needs to.
Well, and this is a team, and I went back and checked this out. Maybe I have the information right in front of me. Maybe I can find it real quick. They love throwing it inside the five. Like, it wasn't Latavius Murray stealing touchdowns at the goal line vulture style.
Well, he had more touchdowns than Cook each year.
Yeah, well, because Cook missed so many games. This is a team that doesn't mind throwing it inside the three.
All right.
That hurts Dalvin Cook.
Okay, well, there's some bust cases for 9 through 16 in CBS ADP. We got some more news and notes. We got some fill in the blank. We got old or new faces in new places. And, you know, we got to talk about Latavius Murray, who used to be on the Vikings. I think he's pretty interesting this year. Tyrell Williams is somebody that Heath's been really high on. So stick around for that. That's coming up next on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Your news and notes, some of it you already know. AJ Green likely going to miss multiple regular season games after the ankle surgery. Derrick Henry, guys, he could miss 2 weeks with a strained calf. I'm looking on Fantasy Football Calculator in non-PPR. Derrick Henry is the 24th pick, which even without the injury, I think would have been a little crazy.
Yep.
But your thoughts on the Titans running backs?
Nervous for a guy that you're expecting to see 15 carries per game from, not to mention goal line work, already dealing with a soft tissue injury. On the flip side, the Titans don't need to run him this preseason very much. I think they know what they've got in him. And so if he's really going to miss just 2 weeks, I'm still okay going for him late round 4 to round 5, depending on if catches count or not. If catches count, definitely round 5.
Damian Williams did not practice on Tuesday, so it's getting a touch concerning, as Heath, you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, I said when this first happened that I was going to give it a week, and I'm getting antsy. I want to cut his projection a little bit, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give it a week. If he's out for a week, the other thing is there were tweets out yesterday about how good Darwin Thompson
was. Yes,
how
much I was going to bring it up.
He's improved in the passing game, how much he's improved in pass protection. So Damian Williams probably needs to get back pretty quick.
This is that, and that's the running back that I would get to pair with Damian Williams, because Darwin Thompson is like Damian Williams. He's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. He's fast and he's strong. Like every single coach, when they talk about Damian Williams in Kansas City, they talk about how muscular he is. So that's something that he might have right in line with Carlos Hyde, and Carlos Hyde is not fast. So it might not be very long until Darwin Thompson ends up being a thing for the Chiefs.
Julio Jones won't play in the preseason. Ryan Fitzpatrick is leading the Miami quarterback competition. Seattle rookie defensive end L.J. Collier has a high ankle sprain. This team could have issues getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, especially in the beginning part of the year.
Baltimore rookie Marquise Brown could practice this week. He had foot surgery in January. I don't know. I feel like we may have overreacted to his injury status.
I think he needs to get on the field because Miles Boykin's winning the number one receiver job right now.
Yeah. He had a broken foot. I don't think that's overreacting.
I think it's overreacting. Like, Marquise Brown is going like mega late in drafts. He's not even close to the first.
Ahead of Boykin.
He should be. He was the first wide receiver selected in the NFL draft.
He was taken a round before Boykin. It matters a lot more that rookies miss practice, miss training camp, miss stuff in the summer, and it can really hinder their development in their first year. Boykin's been there for the last 3 months working with Lamar Jackson. We're getting reports about how good the rapport is between Jackson and Boykin. I'm ruling him out now, but I think it's about a coin flip right now. Which of these guys is going to be the number one on week one?
I would just add that if the Ravens use Brown the way that he was used at Oklahoma, which would make perfect sense given the scheme that they're running, he'll assimilate into the offense just fine. But he does need to, like, you know, practice. He needs to get back on the field, and then he needs to stay healthy. These are both guys that you're going to draft to be bench receivers. I think Brown still has more upside than Boykin.
I think Boykin was a third round pick, right? I think he went.
He was. 90, okay. And he also
93rd overall. That's
offseason program.
93rd overall. That's like 70 picks later than Marquise Brown. It
so
matters
what?
To me.
That. I don't know how that matters.
No, you can't do that. Why? You don't care about Corey Davis's pedigree.
Corey Davis has had 2 years to show his pedigree. He's done nothing with it.
He was a top 30 wide receiver last year. He showed a little bit of it.
Oh, come on.
Corey Davis
would garbage.
Be a much better receiver if he
if,
was done
if either of these guys have a top 30 season, I'll be
it's
shocked.
It's not even a
top 30. I mean,
Corey Davis was a far better pedigree than either of these receivers.
You're not telling me that Corey Davis. I don't know about that. Marquise Brown's like one of the fastest receivers that we've ever seen come into the NFL. That it plays in the NFL today, especially with Lamar Jackson, who just, like, Lamar Jackson's not exactly a great passer. So just get easy completions and let him do something after the catch. You know, I don't really trust Lamar Jackson to make any wide receiver good, but I feel like Marquise Brown can make himself good.
Well, you need to have a quarterback that can get him the ball in order to do
But
that.
He's got one.
Exactly.
Okay, I hope he has one. Bruce Arians expects a good battle between Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber. If you're drafting today, who do you take first, Peyton Barber or Ronald Jones?
Still Barber, but it's getting closer.
I don't really want to take either one of them.
New England wide receiver Maurice Harris is looking good, getting good pub. Any interest in Maurice Harris?
I remember him looking good for a game or two last year with Washington. And now it seems like he's just, you know, right place, right time with the Patriots. Josh Gordon suspended, Edelman's hurt, so he's getting opportunities. Maybe he starts off the year getting 4 or 5 catches per game from Brady, maybe less, maybe 3 or 4. He cracked my top 200 this week.
Golden Tate is unlikely to win his appeal, according to SNY. NJ.com and The Athletic both praised Eagles running back Miles Sanders. This was at the top of yesterday's show. We talked about Jordan Howard, and I hope we didn't go too far. Like, I do think if Jordan Howard's going to get 15 carries a game, you know, then he's going to be valuable. But, you know, like I said, none of us think he's that good. And
I still think it's mostly flex upside and
for Sanders.
For both.
Just because of the track record of how the Eagles use their running backs.
Right.
I think they want to eventually have Miles Sanders be their main back. whether that happens by week six of this year or week six of next year.
And what does that mean guess. When they say main back?
Well, someone who will play 60% of the snaps.
Right.
It won't be Saquon Barkley. It's not going to be like that. But I think they've got a little bit higher expectation of Miles Sanders than a guy that we can use with two other guys. I think they want him to eventually be their primary 15 touch a week guy.
And this could be wrong. I don't have a line to Doug Peterson, but my understanding of their philosophy is that they do not believe in the concept of a main guy.
And most teams have one.
They believe in skill sets and using guys in different ways.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think Miles Sanders changes that.
Not yet. Not until he proves it. But once he proves that he can be that guy, they'll ride him. If. I shouldn't say when. I should say if.
The Saints signed Rob Kelly. Tyreek Hill has...
Well, I mean, this is huge news. How much time do we have to go into
Tyreek Hill has a bruised quad, but he's fine. Arizona rookie wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson continues to have a good camp. He's getting a lot of good pub. So
they're saying he's going to be the number three receiver there.
Okay, so if we look at Marquise Brown, Keyshawn Johnson, Maurice Harris, how would you rank them?
Brown.
Fair enough. And Jamison Crowder is just fine. No worries about his foot/ankle.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good late round PPR receiver.
I don't know if it's good for Robbie Anderson, but it's good for Jamison Crowder. All right, yesterday Jamie told you that if you write a 5-star review for us, we all told you, we'd really appreciate it. He said that one of you 5-star reviewers, if you send it to us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, will join the podcast league. And I'm cool with that because this will help us out. I much appreciate it. We got a lot yesterday. Thank you to our listeners. You guys are the best. My favorite one was this one. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts on iTunes. Great guys. Most informed of any fantasy football podcast. That's the easy part. This podcast goes way beyond the 5 stars. Since I started listening to this podcast, my life has changed. I found $20 in my jeans pocket while doing laundry. My 1.5-year-old said his first word, which was Heath. My 10-year-old made his Little League All-Star team. My confidence in life has gone up, which means my wife is once again attracted to me and has cut off her relationship with the pool boy, and we don't even have a pool, so I'll save money paying for regular pool cleanings. It's so good that we are talking about having another baby, and I'm 63.582% sure I'll name him Adam if it's a boy. Heck, I may even name him Adam if it's a girl. I even noticed my monthly electric bill has gone down 10%. I can't promise you'll have the same luck I have had listening, but it couldn't hurt. Thank you guys for bringing meaning to my life again.
That's fantastic.
It's really good. And it's really funny. And I like it.
Yeah, it's very good.
I'd like to see a 5-star review where we actually did help people, like an example of how we helped you.
Well, those are like 17 examples.
But that didn't help this guy win his
pants pocket.
Who cares if his electric bill went down 10%? Tell me how we helped you win your league last.
Do you guys have iPhones?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have that little stupid white adapter that you have to put in to use headphones?
The dongle?
You know, you have to plug like the adapter into the headphone jack and then the headphones into the
adapter. Sure, I've got one of those. I think it's called a
dongle. No, I just have headphones that have been made in the last decade.
What are you talking about? The new iPhone has a...
The lightning adapter.
Yeah, lightning.
My headphones just have
lightning
plug-in.
Yeah,
they do?
Like, I've got like 7 earbuds around my house that have the lightning adapter.
Yeah, I don't have...
But I do own one dongle that takes an old school headphone and puts it into...
That's all I have is old school headphone.
That's okay, as long as it works.
Yeah. Well, my story
they might not work for much longer because they're at least 10 years old.
You know, they have wireless ones now, not. Adam.
I have put that in the washing machine, the white adapter, like 6 times. I wash it almost every time I use it. I put it in my pocket and I forget about it. I have washed and dried. What? It's a dongle? That's what you said? The lightning adapter?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I find in my laundry. So there's another 5-star review. I said if you leave a question in your 5-star review, we'll answer it. Can't guarantee that, but we will answer some. From Robert, dear Michael, Val, George, and Christian. I know
Batman.
It. Yeah. PPR, 12-team league. I have my choice. I can't do it. I have my choice of draft spot. I'm falling more and more in love in a 12-team PPR league with the 10, 11, 12 range. Is it worth passing on a top 4 pick?
The best part about picking that late in round one is that you're guaranteed 2 top 15 players. Guaranteed. And if you like 2 of those top 15 and they're not one of those top 4 running backs, have at it. 2 elite players to build your team around, typically better than 1.
I prefer pick number four. I think that's the best pick. But I am every day this week falling more and more in love with not taking any running backs in the first five rounds. And picks 10 through 12 are perfect for that.
Yep.
So if you want to be a little adventurous, that is a great place to be.
All right. Hey, by the way, we got a tweet. Raven from Jameson Hensley covers the Ravens. Ravens first round pick Marquise Hollywood Brown runs his first NFL drill. Okay, and there's a picture of him.
He must be ready to rock.
He looks like he's making a one-handed catch.
I know we don't have a lot of extra time today.
Correct.
And I'm not going to use this person's name, and I tweeted about it last night, but you read the worst email we've ever received yesterday. I thought I should read the best email we've ever received today.
Okay, yeah. I was going to respond to this guy, but you'll find out why I didn't. Go ahead, Heath.
He actually sent two emails. His second email was the greatest email ever in response to his first email that was sent 11 minutes prior. His second email was, "Never mind, I was wrong. Don't tell Heath. You'll make me sound stupid."
Yeah, I didn't tell Heath, but he saw it himself. Well, you want to read the first email or no?
Sure, because it's actually informative. I've been a listener for years, and a number of those I've heard Heath use the phrase regression to the mean and apply it to both a decrease and increase in numbers. Regression always means to decrease. If he is talking about numbers increasing to reach the mean, that's progression. You cannot regress forward, Heath. Please clean this up.
Yeah, and the subject line was, "Get Heath a dictionary," I think.
Yes.
And the follow-up email was, "Never mind, Heath is right." So yeah, when we say regression, there is positive regression, there is negative regression. It just means getting closer to the mean. All right, we do have a CBS Sports HQ show tomorrow night before the Hall of Fame game. I'll give you some details on Twitter. I'll give you some details on the podcast, but it should be an hour before the game. I'm going to be on that. Jamie's going to be on that. Make sure you're watching us on CBS Sports HQ, and I think there might be a post-game show too. Going to be a late night. Let's do some fill in the blank. This is from Stoogies. The Miami Dolphins have blank players who belong on a fantasy roster.
Four.
And they are?
Drake, Balazs, Stills, Albie.
Wilson, yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick, of course, is going to throw for 12 touchdowns.
And maybe in two quarterback
leagues. He does need to be rostered.
Brett says Josh Jacobs' upside is blank.
1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Ooh, that seems fair. Running back, top 10 running back?
Yep.
Top 12 maybe running back?
He would have to perform like the rookie, like Leonard Fournette did as a rookie, something like that to get there.
We're not in Wisconsin anymore. It says blank will have the third most receptions for the Saints after Thomas and Kamara.
Cook.
Robert says the most...
Taysom Hill.
The most frustrating player to try and predict week to week will be blank.
Also Taysom Hill. No.
That's a tough one.
You can go in 100 different directions. You can take any of the, you know, boomer bust receivers.
Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can almost say something similar for any Rams receiver.
I was going to say
any Rams receiver from week to week.
I was going to go Cooper Kupp. Yeah.
I think the Eagles will be worse.
Well, the problem is that we're drafting the top three Rams receivers to be starters for our team. We're going to start them each week, but predicting how they're going to do each week is going to be really tough.
Yeah. How many bad games did Brandon Cooks have last year?
Probably eight, because every year it seems like he's got eight good games and eight bad games.
I don't know.
I think Woods is going to fall in line, and Kupp at least has some touchdown potential each week. He was pretty consistent last year.
Kupp is the guy that has the low yard totals. Like per game.
Right, and the high touchdown.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks was... Brandon Cooks was very consistent until the end of the season when, like, they were all pretty bad, except maybe Robert Woods.
He had a four-game stretch that was bad towards the end. But other than that, he was extremely good.
The offense just completely fell off. All right, Lucas says, in 2020, blank will drop from a first-round pick to a fourth or a fifth-round pick. That's a big drop.
Most likely to drop that much.
James Conner.
I was going to say David Johnson.
God, I have a hard time believing either of those.
Because David Johnson will be 28 next year. So if he's worth a second or third round pick this year, it could really fall fast.
Yeah, I think Conner, I'm just not sure how good he is. And look, I mean, I'm going to take him in the first round. So, but just, you know, it's possible he's not that good and the Steelers might move in a different direction or draft a running back to replace him. Okay, next up.
Fair argument.
Possible. The Cliff Kingsbury experiment could just go terribly wrong.
It could. And then we'll be like, hey, listen, 3 years ago, David Johnson was great. Kyle says, if I miss out on a top-tier tight end, I'm waiting until the blank round to fill that position, tight end.
I don't think you can answer this with just one number. Because if Evan Engram falls to me at the right spot, I'm just going to take him unless you consider him one of the top tight ends at this point. Is he a top tight end?
I think the top tier is the big three. That's how I interpret it.
That's what I meant that.
I'm generally waiting to the fifth round to try to get one of Engram, Howard, or Henry. If I miss them, then I'm probably waiting till the double digit rounds.
All right. Next up is one that I forgot to do research for. From Philly Special, the week one bonanza is blank. Okay, I'm trying to pull up the week one schedule. I'm going to
Houston at New Orleans.
New Orleans would be a really good one.
You know what I'm going to do this year for the Bonanza? The Bonanza is the game I pick every week to have like massive fantasy output where all the guys you thought about starting do well, or at least
It was good last year, right?
I don't know. I think I want to do it Survivor Pool style where I just pick one team and I can't use them again rest of season.
I don't think you should limit yourself like that.
I think it'd be fun. It'd be a fun little challenge.
I think Colts Chargers has Bonanza potential.
I think
assuming that Andrew Luck's healthy.
Bucks Niners is your sneaky Bonanza. And then finally, Dr. Rob says at his current ADP, drafters will be blank about David Montgomery.
What's the ADP, round five? Is that the latest on him?
No.
No, I 40, see round four.
Fourth. That is so high. Drafters
yeah,
will be,
it might be a little
way
too
high on Montgomery.
And I'm excited about him. I think that he's got a great opportunity to rumble for 8 touchdowns this year.
Disappointed.
All right.
Yeah, I moved him down in my rank.
Well,
I'm in round four.
I've been really wanting to read some emails here. I've been neglecting the emailers. And I hate when I plug a section and we don't get to it. So I'm going to do it anyway. New faces in new places or old faces in new places. We'll have to wait until tomorrow. Email time. Before we get to your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, we do have to take one more quick break on fantasy football today. So let's do that and come right back and read your questions.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Okay, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Thank you guys for all the emails, and you girls for all the emails. This is from Donnie. Dear Jerry, Ray, Simeon, and Sydney. Rice. Those are Rices.
Rices, yes.
Could have done like Uncle Ben. Could have been a little more creative with that. Who makes for a better long-term keeper, Chris Godwin or Dante Pettis?
Godwin.
I'll say Godwin.
All right, this is Bill from a southwest Chicago suburb just northwest of Dave's hometown.
Is that like Oak Forest, maybe? Oak Park? One of the Oaks?
Sure. Why not? Dear Fatso, Stinky, and Stretch. I'll be Stinky. This is Casper.
Oh, great. So I know who I am.
He's tall, so he's Stretch. These are the ghosts from Casper, apparently. My league switched to an all-play format last year. Wondering your take on this. It does seem to solve the problem of scoring the second most points in a week, but lose because you played the highest scoring team.
So I believe this to mean you play everybody each week in the top six scores. Get a win.
No.
And the bottom six scores.
No, you play everybody every week and your record is whatever you went that week.
Oh, and so 11-1 and 11-0.
You play 11 different teams. You might be 11-0 that week.
Okay.
You might be 0-11.
I don't have a problem with it.
Better way to determine who has the best team. The better way, it probably takes some of the fun out of it.
It does. Right. We've done it before. Remember, Nando was part of the show. And we did a second podcast league, and it was an all-play league, and it was my least favorite league I ever played in. I absolutely hated it. If you like it, fine. I am not endorsing all-play. I'd rather not play.
It sounds like our For the People baseball league that you guys can't make the playoffs in.
Can't make the playoffs. I'm 100% making the playoffs. I have the second best record.
The For the People league?
Oh. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant the other one.
Never mind. Heath's right.
But that's not an all-play league. Okay.
No, it's just a league that was designed that you hate.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah. Chris from a town on the central coast in California.
Fresno isn't anywhere near the coast, but that's where you're from. You're closer to the California coast than I am.
A lot of analysts are in love with Jameis Winston this year, but last year he was a QB1 only four times, like top 12, and he was top six only once in 10 games played. We'll have to edit this email, Chris, because that had to be at least twice. He scored 37 fantasy points twice, both against Atlanta. One of those was week 17. Anyway, Jameis' numbers pale in comparison to passers going near and even after his ADP. Bruce Arians is a genius, but he can't throw the ball for Jameis Winston, so why so much industry trust in Winston this year? And I got to tell you, I'm sort of on Chris's side on this.
I am too.
Jameis was the number three quarterback in week 17.
Number three. Okay, but he was top six. Yeah. So that was the second time as a top six. Yeah, so he did it twice, and both times against like the worst pass defense in the NFL.
It goes back to something Jamie has said a lot this preseason, and I kind of go against it with the top six or seven, but if you're looking at a quarterback after the first eight or nine rounds of the draft, the only thing that should really matter to you is upside, because each week there are going to be three or four streaming options on your waiver wire. In some leagues I was in last year, I was able to find Carson Wentz on the waiver wire.
So his ADP on CBS.
Our listeners are not going to have that same experience, though. They're not.
His ADP
is
99. That's the ninth round.
They're not going to have that same waiver wire experience, I mean, because our listeners are going to play in leagues where more quarterbacks get drafted. So
there can be 20 quarterbacks owned and still be three or four streaming options each week.
Yep.
I mean, maybe, but maybe. No, look, I like Jameis. I'm going to draft some Jameis, but I do fear him a little bit because he's really just hasn't been a very good player. The other thing I'll say, and I'll mention this on the QB preview next week, Bruce Arians, it took Carson Palmer a year. His first year with Bruce Arians, he basically had the same-ish passer rating as he did with the Bengals. Second year, he took a big step forward. Third year, he took a huge step forward. And I've heard Bruce Arians talk about how it takes time to adjust to a new system. So there's a lot to like, and there's a lot to dislike. He's going to be an interesting player.
There's a very, very low floor. I would not suggest. I don't think he's as good of option in a two quarterback league. But in a one quarterback league, I can stream if I need to. I want the upside.
Jeremy from Australia wants to know how we feel about 16 team leagues, and do you think it's better to draft tight ends early? Because streaming them would be tougher in a 16 team league.
Absolutely. And I like 16 team leagues because more people to beat, maybe better prizes to win, and more challenging. And in those types of formats, yeah, absolutely, I'm going after a tight end.
I'm probably going to be a little more balanced all the way around in a 16 team league.
I always fear running back depth in deeper leagues. And it often comes at the expense of the tight end. My justification is that there are going to be a lot of teams in a 16-team league that have a lousy tight end. So if you are one of those teams, it's not quite as much of a disadvantage. However, I don't think there's a right answer. Like, Dave's reasoning totally makes sense to me, too.
You're just looking for whatever reason you can to devalue tight ends. Add a roster spot, tight end's not worth as much. Add a couple of players, tight end's not worth as much.
It's the same in a 12-team league. Your lineup is different. In a good way, if you've got a tight end that can perform like a top 15 receiver.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simple value proposition.
Not being able to find a running back on the waiver wire in a 16 team league.
But you know what? You're going to have that problem no matter how you draft in a 16 team league. unless you spend your first four picks on running backs, in which case the rest of your team is going to suffer. Not just tight end, your receivers are going to suffer too. You're going to suffer somewhere in a 16 team.
It shouldn't
league.
Be
your
quarterback.
Lineup is going to stink somewhere.
Don't take a quarterback high in a 16 team league.
No, this is the year you wait on quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, from Jake. Last one here is from Jake. New to Dynasty, would love your thoughts on the trade offer I received. I would give up Alvin Kamara and Vance McDonald. I would get... I would get...
Don't even know you need to hear the other side.
Todd Gurley, Tyler Boyd, a 2023rd and a 2021 second round pick. So sorry, I'll say it again. You give up Kamara and Vance McDonald, you get Todd Gurley, Tyler Boyd, a third round pick next year and a second round pick in 2021.
I think I'd rather have Kamara.
Yeah, it's not that far off, but I would not do it.
Okay, good show. Heath, thank you for coming on. I'm not going to play the music. I'm not going to kill it.
No, we don't need to play it too much. I will talk to you on Friday or probably sometime tomorrow for some reason.
All right. For Dave, for Jamie, for Heath, thank you all so much for listening. I'm Adam Azer. This is Fantasy Football Today. We're back tomorrow.